Thank you for being part of the Oasis family. We love you. You're very important to us. We're on a journey where we need everybody on board, and we all need to be hearing for God, from God for ourselves. Scott used the word this morning, he'd listened to God. And this is a season where we're listening for God's voice. And sometimes we have to be still to hear his voice. Because he's not in the earthquake, and he's not in the thunder, and he's not in the lightning. He has a still, small voice. We need to have that time to hear. Thank you for praying for us that went to the conference. Took a big team this year because there's lots of changes happening with Ealing Movement, and I wanted the team to know what's going to happen there. So thank you for praying for us. And we're back now ready to keep going and keep trusting and keep in believing. But we need to do that together. Is that okay? So on our journey, we want to thank God for what he's done. On the 14th of June, we're going to be celebrating his faithfulness to this church. 50 years. 50 years. My wife was one of the first, and my mother-in-law, she's over there. She's looking at me thinking, who is that guy? When they walked into church, they doubled the congregation, the whole family, the Robinson family. So they've been here since almost from day one. So, we got a lot to thank God for. So, we are talking about riding the next wave, part 18. Part 18 already, aren't we having fun? And we're talking about allowing the dove, the Holy Spirit, to come. And we're inviting the Holy Spirit in every situation. The small situations, the big situations. Every morning when we wake up, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come to lead us and to guide us, to transform us from the inside out, with the purpose and the sole purpose of us becoming more like Jesus. I want to expand that a little bit later today. Everyone talks about revival. We all want revival. But revival has to start with us personally, with us. And God wants to do a new thing in our life, and he wants to do it, in us and through us. And we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. I need him. I'm 61 now, in case you didn't know, because you're wondering how old this man is. And I need Jesus and the Holy Spirit more than ever in my life today. And we need that transforming power of the Holy Spirit within us. I said, we are not settlers, we are pioneers. We are not settlers, we're pioneers. This church is called to pioneer, not to settle. The enemy is taking people out that are settling in churches and leaders who are settling, and we are not going to settle. I said the next wave is where God has called us to be spirit-filled. Say spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. That's what we need in this next wave, spirit-filled Christians. Not just good Christians, not just nice Christians. We need spirit-filled Christians in the day that we live. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Radical. We're called to be radical. Did you know Jesus is radical? He's my example. He is radical. We are called to be radical. We're called to be world changers. What are you called to be? Tell the person next to you. You are called to be a world changer. You're called to be bold. Not bald like me, bold. To step out, to do things that other people aren't prepared to do, to be bold. Say to the person, he's talking to you, be bold. To be unafraid and uncompromising. And on our spirit-led journey, we are not going to stay and settle where we are. We are going to move forward and take ground. We have a mission in a few weeks. We're going to be out on the streets in the morning. We're going to be having an encounter evenings on the evening. And on Saturday, we're going to meet our community and we're going to see people get saved. And some of you are going to lead people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That is what we're doing. We're taking new ground. The first time I came back to this church in 2000, We did a rebuilding project in the Reeves room, and then I said to them, we're doing the tent mission. And I went, there's only a few of us, there's 40 of us. How are we going to do a tent mission? We did it. And the very place where we're going to do this event. People got saved then, people got healed then, people are going to get saved, people are going to get healed. Do you believe that? So we're going to take territory from the enemy, and we're going to keep it. We're not going to lose it. But we all need to do this together. It's important we work together. Obviously, stay biblical. Jesus wants to be spiritually stable. Biblical. Jesus wants to be part of every decision that you make in your life, from the smallest to the biggest. He wants to be in the decisions when you get up in the morning and say, Lord, would you help me make the right decisions, your decisions on everything today? Everything. Not just the big decisions, not just the career life changing decisions, or where you move house, or who you are going to have a relationship and friendship with. Every decision. This year I've had some conversations with people that have chosen Jesus to have be part of the decision making for the little things, but some of the big things they've decided to do it themselves. 50-50, and they got it wrong. Every decision the Holy Spirit needs to be part of. And we've got to get this right this year. On a spirit-led journey, we talked about walking the walk and not just talking the talk. Anybody can talk the talk. Anybody can say, oh, I follow Jesus. I was talking to somebody today and I said, it's when you go through the valleys and you've said that you'll trust Jesus regardless, and you go through the valleys, that's where you learn to trust him and to do the things he asks you to do. And none of us want valley experiences, but and we've all had them. No one in this room, Jesus, and we've all had them. No one in this room is exempt from those. The walk, not just talk the talk. In the valleys, we walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And people are going to come to see, know Jesus, because, does that make sense? They're going to look at you and walk, not just talk the talk. Does that make sense? They're going to look at you. What we say is important to that person. It's not just what they say. What we say is important. Of course it is. But we're going to see people saved because of that. Important. And we're going to see people saved because of that. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything. Can you say everything? Yes. We need for life of godliness through a knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. When God, do you know that? He doesn't say everything we need to live a godly life. Do you know that? He doesn't say, he starts you off well. He'll help you if you need it. He starts you off well. And we'll finish well. In one of the books I'm writing now, it's talking about finishing well. Who wants to finish well? Not just scramble over the line and just hope you make it, but to finish well. I said we were called to be contagious, and then loads of people get chicken pox. Did you notice that? I thought that was quite funny. No, it's not funny for those people who have chicken pox. We're called to be contagious. We're called to touch people's lives and our influence to spread rapidly, where we live out clear biblical principles, where we are authentic believers. We do what we say. We don't say one rule for you and one rule for me. The broken world is looking for a church that is authentic, that people live by what they say. The world doesn't need another story. It's essential on what we focus on now, what we're called to do, and not be distracted. We cannot take our lead from this world because it's lost and it's broken and it doesn't know where it's going. Scott, could I borrow you? You're healthy and fit, aren't you? If you fall off there, don't worry. Okay. You'll be all right. The Holy Spirit's with you. So Scott is our leader. And he's saying, I don't know where I'm going. Close your eyes, put your arms out. And he's saying, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going this way. And they're going, well, we don't know where we're going either. But we're going to follow you. And Scott keeps walking. But he doesn't realise that there's an edge here. And everyone goes, he goes, I don't know where I'm going. And people go, it's okay. We don't know either. We're just going to keep going. And this is what this world is doing. It's following leaders who are blind. They have not got a clue how to fix this. And people are getting behind them and going, it's okay, because even if he doesn't know where he's going, I've got my hand on his shoulder. And he takes a step forward and he's blind. And you're going to step off now, okay? And he steps off. And he falls into the chasm. And he's lost. And the person behind comes and they go, oh, it's okay. I know that they've fallen, but I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to do the same. And people just walk off the chasm one at a time because the world is lost. And they need to somebody say to come up and go, stop. Stop what you're doing. You need to do something different now. You need to open your eyes and fix your eyes upon Jesus. And he'll lead you and guide you. And you need to save them from walking off the edge of that cliff. What can I do on the mission week? You can stop people walking off the cliff. You can do something. Something is better than nothing. And we're called to do something. Do you believe that? I want to remind us ourselves of the four essentials. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These are things that as our church, we must do. We are not going to stop doing these things. We need to focus on that. And for those people that aren't joining us today because I've stayed in bed, you need to be part of the fellowship and to be fellowship with us. It's your choice. If you want to do that, you find yourself at the enemy's beck and call. A contagious people, you and I, are called to be passionate about the Holy Spirit. Passionate. It's interesting, you go to a football game, you get men in church, and they won't say anything. You take them to a football game, I tell you what, who's that person there? I went with Brian, and Brian paid for me to go and see Birmingham City one day, and we had David with us, his twin brother. And David was at one end, and the opposing fans were at the other. And David stood up and he taunted them. I won't tell you what they thought he said. He said, I want six. But they thought he said something else. And when we scored a goal, which wasn't very often, but we did. And men change. Men, be passionate more about Jesus than football. If you want to support teams like Arsenal, Aston Villa, and you haven't prayed about it, that's okay, or Leeds. But be much more passionate about a Jesus than your football. So when you are out of there and you're passionate about something, just kick yourself and say, I need to be as passionate, if not more, about Jesus. We need to be passionate, spirit-filled people. People who carry the presence of God. You are carriers of the presence of God. You take the presence of God wherever you go, wherever you place your feet. Do you remember the miracles of Peter in Acts? They just laid Peter at his shadow. He didn't even go and pray for them. He just walked past them. And his shadow, because he carried the presence of God, people were healed. Wouldn't it be amazing? On our mission day, our mission week, that you go into a situation where somebody's so broken and you just step there and God heals them without you even having to pray. The first mission I went to in Kenya was in 2000, and we'd been there for a week and we'd gone into the depths of Kenya and I'd preached and people had walked for hours and hours had come, and the first person that came to me was blind in their left eye. So I said, God, give me faith for this. Put my hand out, plus my hand on the head. And they saw instantaneously. The second time, the second person was blind in both eyes. I didn't even get a chance to put my hand up. I said, in Jesus' name. And I didn't even say, be healed. And they could see straight away. Just the presence of God and carrying the presence of God. And we want to carry the presence of God. Does this make sense to us, church? This world is broken, it's hurting, and it's lost. And we are called to be so marked by the reality of Jesus that we walk into any situation that people start to see Jesus. We don't even have to talk about him. They go, who's this? And they see something of Jesus in you and I. We are called to carry his presence. We are not called to be a people who attend church services. It's great to see you today, but I hope you're not just attending a church service. Can I have a little poll now? See who's been the oldest. I know who it's going to be. Who's been a Christian for 10 years? Put your hands up. Keep your hands up if you've been 20 years or more. 30 years or more. 40 years or more. 50 years or more. 60 years or more. 70 years or more. 70, we've got 70, 70, 270s, 370s, 80, 71, 72. So let's pretend that you've heard a sermon once a Sunday for 70 years. Who's good at maths? Lydia? Let's say you've heard a sermon 40 times, where some of us have heard sermons twice or three times on a Sunday. Yeah, over 3,200 sermons you've heard. And what have you done with them? Who's been a Christian for a year or less? Right. You can't just listen to a sermon. Take notes. Well, that was good. Write them down. Go home and come back next week. And just be a sermon receiver. That's not what Jesus called us to be. We need each other. We need to be together. We need to fellowship. We need to break bread together. We need to trust God together. But we can't just take notes and be sermon note takers. We've got to do something with the Word of God. It's given to us so that we can give to others. We freely receive. We freely give. We're called to be compassionate enough to feel the pain of our community. God calls us to be compassionate people. When our community hurts, we hurt. When someone dies and they're stabbed, we hurt. That's who we are. That's what we do. And we are courageous enough to step into it, into our community, and bring Jesus. We can hear of all bad things that happen, but the other part is, oh, isn't that terrible? Step into their brokenness. Step into that situation and bring Jesus into that situation. In your community, there are people that are very broken and need you to step in and need me to step in. Some people will ignore the problems. They will go, la, 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 la. It's not really happening. If I pretend it's not happening, it's not happening. But it is happening. And so the church is called to action and show its authenticity and its power by action. Amen? You're quiet. Do you disagree with me? You can disagree with me, it's okay. I'm wrong sometimes, my wife will tell you. This is what I believe riding the next wave is for us. We need to engage with people's brokenness and bring Jesus into that situation. With the faith that God will heal them, restore them, and do something amazing. I want you to leave this service today thinking, whatever happens tomorrow, I'm going to bring Jesus into that situation, or even today. The world does not need a church that's comfortable. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. The world doesn't need a comfortable church. The world doesn't need a predictable church. Oh, they go to church Sunday mornings, don't they? That's predictable. We don't need a polished church service. The world doesn't want us to be safely contained in our four walls. The enemy does. But the broken people don't want that to happen. That's why we're going out. It needs a church that's alive, authentic, compassionate and contagious. The Oasis family is called to be a people who are radical. You remember we used the word radical? Enough to believe the gospel still changes lives today. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ still changes lives. It's not our message. It's the message that's been passed down to us. We need to believe it. We need to believe in the most difficult situation. We take the word of God, knowing that it can transform each and every situation. And nothing is too difficult for Jesus. We need to be bold enough to go on the streets and pray publicly. And people drive past and think, what are those strange people doing? And they stop you and say, what are you doing? So we're praying for you. We'd be praying for our community from a stage at Avonlea Park and praying God's blessing and power in that situation. We're not afraid to do that. We're going to be bold enough. And we're going to be unashamed enough to speak the name of Jesus in a culture that is increasingly uncomfortable with the truth. They'd rather not hear the truth. They just want to hear something, as long as it's not the truth. And we have got to be unashamedly sharers of that gospel, even if people don't want to hear it. Because it's not what they want, it's what they need. And that's what we're called to do. And we need to be uncompromising enough to stand firm in the truth while still overflowing with grace. We're not going to stand at the end of the street and say, turn or burn. We're not doing that. We're going to show the grace and the love of Jesus that God has given us. You have received great grace, amazing grace, and our job is to pass it on. We share the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus. We go into situations that people won't go to, but our job is not to condemn or judge anybody. Our job is to love them and show them grace. Because some people need to receive some grace because they're hurting and they're ashamed of what they've done and they're broken and they wish those things had never done. And nobody could possibly want them in their church. I want them. But more than that, Jesus wants them. So we're showing grace. And the pastors here will spend time seeking God's face to bring a message to each and every one of us. They will seek God and they will listen. They have the mandate. I've given them the mandate to do that. They've already got the mandate from God anyway. And they will share it with grace, not judgment. Our team will share it with grace. But grace is not a license to do whatever we want. Oh, I will live under grace now. I can live my life. I can go out clubbing on a Saturday night and come to church Sunday morning. No, grace motivates us to live a godly life, a holy life. The forgiveness that we have received motivates us to live that life. And God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Do you know, it's entirely possible to be busy at church and yet absent from the mission of Jesus. It's possible to sing about revival. Revive us, revive us. And we don't do anything about the people that need revival out there. We can sing about it, but there are people out there that need revival. We've got to be careful we don't become an insular people. Contagious faith costs us something. It requires holy boldness. It requires stepping into awkward conversations. You know, at times, you've got to stand up for the truth and you say, I need to have a conversation with somebody about this. I need to nail my colours to the mast and I need to talk about what they're talking about now. And it's an awkward conversation. And when we go in, we may well be rejected by that person. But we need to go in there knowing that we will be rejected at times. And pay the cost. And be willing to do it because we're radical people who are willing to do what it takes. It means believing that the same Holy Spirit who empowered the early church in Acts will empower you. When you step into a situation, you say, Holy Spirit, come. Empower me to be the person you call me to be. Walk in faith. Believe that God is with you. And if there's 1,000 people at your work and you, they're still outnumbered when you have the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? They're still outnumbered. You still have a greater power than they do. The book of Acts was never meant to be a historical monument of something that the apostles did. Oh, isn't that good? Did you see those miracles that they did? You see the power? It's supposed to be a continuation for us as a generation to continue in that same way with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to bring into each and every situation. So I want to say to you, will you settle for being a spectator of faith? Will you settle for that? Because I can't lead people that are settlers. I can't. We're leading people, a contagious people, passionate about being spirit-filled and following Jesus. I want to ask you to become a contagious disciple who carries the life of Jesus into your home. If you are a man and a Christian man, be the head of your house as a Christian man should be. Love your wives. Do what the Bible says. Sit down at dinner time and pray when you have lunch or dinner. Pray with your wife before you go to work. Pray God's blessing upon her. Step up into the things God has for you. Be passionate and be spirit-filled for your families. Before you go to work, unless you've got to work a silly o'clock and get up at 2 o'clock or something, maybe wake your wife up anyway, but that might not be a good thing. Wives, submit to your husbands. If they ask you to do something, you're doing it because they've prayed about it. They've sought God for it. They're making decisions in their life. And they're asking you to support them. Let's be spirit-filled people that bring Jesus into our homes. If you're a new Christian and you've got children, start to teach them about Jesus now. But I don't know much. I've only been a Christian for a few months. Doesn't matter. What have you learned? Pass it on. If God has done something in your life, tell your children. In your homes, bring Jesus. In your workplace, in your school, in your cafes that you go and have a coffee with somebody. In the streets, in your relationships. One of the biggest things that we see as leaders is someone going really on well with God and then they enter into a relationship, an ungodly relationship with somebody that's not a Christian. And you can have a relationship with a Christian that's not godly either. We know that, don't we? Who your friends are, who influence you, you need to pray about who they are. If they're not influencing you right, they're not your friends. They are not your friends. And if they keep doing that round and round and keep pulling you down, they are not your friends. And you need to bring people around you that will encourage you to love Jesus and to move on with him. We cannot simply admire radical faith in Christians. Oh, did you read that story about that real man of God? We must embrace it. Every one of us here. Are we still talking? Are we still talking? When was the last time your faith cost you something? When was the last time the Holy Spirit laid something on your heart and you felt uncomfortable and you had to get out your comfort zone to be Jesus in that situation? When is the last time that somebody came to know Jesus because you had to come out of your comfort zone and it cost you something? When was the last time you led somebody to Jesus? We are not settlers. We're pioneers. I'm asking you to get out of your comfort zone and do things which seem impossible and see God do make it possible. I'm asking and I'm praying that God will make you uncomfortable in church. Pastor, you don't pray things like that. I am. I'm praying that you'll go to situations this week where you've got to trust God for the miraculous. Because that is where we learn to trust God. And actually, we nail our colours to the mast. That was my introduction. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this letter, it's his final letter in a dungeon to Timothy. His final words are important. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you today. Can we read that? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bring great grace to the people that are broken. The word of God is the gospel of grace. It is timeless and universal. It is always relevant, always powerful. Always relevant, always powerful. 1 John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when we get up in the morning, we're going to take grace in our left hand. If you've got a child called Grace, you'll. And we're going to take truth in our right hand. And we're going to walk through the day with grace and truth. Grace and truth. And we're going to hold hands with grace and truth. And we're going to bring them to every situation that we have. Grace is how we teach. And the truth that is taught transforms our minds and shapes our lives. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Who knows that scripture? Who understands that scripture? So we find this. Baptize them. It assumes that we will share our faith. It makes the assumption we will share our faith. Jesus said, I assume, I expect you will share your faith. The second thing is, teach them to obey. It directs us to share our lives of faith with those who believe in Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who also will be qualified to teach others. When we're preaching, we are entrusting to you reliable people to trust other people. We are believing that you are trustworthy and reliable to take what you've heard and to teach other people. The Greek word means to entrust. It means to place valuable truth on deposit for safekeeping, to hand over or pass the truth to others who can then faithfully teach others. We must focus on preserving the gospel through discipleship so it is not lost or corrupted. We must treat the gospel as a treasure to be passed on to other people, and we faithfully train other people. Who likes athletics? A few of us. One of the things I love is the relay race. Emmanuel was telling me about how his son ran in a relay race the other day and did really, really well. I love relay races. Do you like watching them, or is it just me, Billy, no mates? I love it when I love the 1x1, but I love the 400 relay race. But you can imagine if Scott, I can use you again, can't I, Scott? You're great for illustrations. Scott decides, well, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run the 4x400 all on my own. He hasn't told anybody, but the gun goes and he goes, he blazes the first 400, and the person behind is looking, waiting for the baton, and Scott runs straight past. And the second one goes, what's he doing? And then he does another 40, because he's quite fit. He's quite a fit guy. Comes to the third. And the third guy's there waiting for the baton. Scott goes, I'm going to do it myself. And he runs and tries to do it all himself. And then he comes to the fourth runner. And the fourth, everyone's shouting, give him the baton, give him the baton. Scott, no, I'll do it myself. And he runs past the fourth person. And he's the fastest on the track. And he beats everybody else. But the race is lost. Because the rules of the game is you have to pass the baton on well. And I love it when they focus in, when someone's going to pass the baton to somebody else. And they're watching, they put the hand out ready to take it. And the runner comes and he places the baton well in the hand and they run. You're called to carry the baton. It's not your baton. It doesn't belong for you. You have it for a season. You have it for a time. But you have to pass it on well. And someone has to receive it. And then they run their race. So, Andrew, I'm going to pass you the baton. And then you're going to give it to Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, you're going to give it to Scott. And then Scott, you're going to give it to Catherine. And Catherine, you're going to give it to David. And David, you're going to give it to Chris. And young lady, what's your name again? Magna. Madeline. You're going to give it to Madeline. And Madeline, you're going to give it to Lydia. And Lydia, you're going to give it to Agnieszka. And you're going to pass it on. Does that make sense? We've got to invest in people's lives. We've got to disciple people. We've got to give our time and energies to help people. What Paul does is he takes a young man called Timothy, invests his life, invests his time, invests the gospel into this young man, another young man called Titus as well, invests that in them, and he says, I'm entrusting this with you, Timothy. And I want you to look for other people that you can invest in. And I want you to look for other people you can invest in and share your life and help them carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Mentioned Brian a few times today. Brian was in church when he was 1600 and frozen to death. And I was a little boy. And Brian would preach in church and Brian would do different things. And Brian gave me a little bit of the gospel that I took. So part of my DNA is Brian. So please pray for me. And then some of you in this room, I've led you to Jesus. And there's a little bit of Robin's DNA in you. And if I've led you to Jesus, I want to ask you to go and give it away to other people. Is that okay? So being a contagious people, we have some beautiful opportunities now to go to a broken world, to bring grace and truth into that situation, to bring the power of the Holy Spirit into every situation. And we are not containing ourselves into a building. We're breaking out. We're taking new ground. We're going to be radical. We're going to be spirit-filled. We're going to be bold. We're going to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Who's in? Every one of us can do something with what we have in our hand. We are not settlers. We are... The next wave is where God has called us to be spirit-filled, radical, world-changing, bold, unafraid, and uncompromising. I could ask everybody now to come to the front and say, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm not. Because you're grown-ups. You're adults. I can't make you do anything. But I'm asking you to do something with this message today. And if we do, we are going to see a move of God like we've never experienced before. Because God is wanting us to do this together. Together. Stronger. Better. Together. And I might start that one again. Part two. Thank you. Just close your eyes for a minute. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace upon our life. Father, I thank you for people like Brian and others who invested in my life and taught me some stuff and showed me what was good and right. I thank you for model people who invest in people's lives and disciple them and love them, and the people in here that do it day in, day out, week in, week out. I honour them. But Lord, as a church, Lord, we need to pass the button and pass it on well. Thank you for what you're doing amongst us. But Lord, today, help us not to forget this message. Help us not just to make notes and go away and come back next week to another service. I pray everyone this week will be uncomfortable because they've got to step out in faith. I pray wherever they place their feet in their shadow falls, people will get healed and people will get saved, and that your spirit will move in a mighty way. Lord, this world does not need a comfortable church contained in these four walls. It needs authentic Christians that walk the walk and talk the talk. So help us to be like that. And Lord, we invite you again to be Lord of every decision that we make. Every decision that we make. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. God is good. And you're still awake.